Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're all familiar with the first part of the chapter that tells of our Savior's birth. But I want to go down the chapter for a verse 21. This took place when our Savior was 8 days old. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. His name was Jesus. This is a very important event in the story of our Savior's birth and life. As a Jewish boy, he was circumcised on the 8th day. That was a sign of the covenant that God had with his ancient people Israel. And it was also a sign of cleansing that they belonged to the Lord. Now, why did the Lord have this happen to him? Well, to show that he's human. To show that he was a Jew. But also, if you look carefully at this verse and go down the chapter, when 8 days were accomplished, and we could go on down the chapter and pick out 4 or 5 times, according to the law. You see, the idea of accomplished shows it was leading up to the 8th day. Why? Because the Old Testament law in Exodus and also Leviticus commanded that Jewish boys go through this ritual. So it was a fulfillment of the law of he whom Galatians tells us was made of a woman, made under the law. Now that is very important. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, God the Son took a human body to live as a man and to live that perfect, righteous life that you and I could never live. We have a problem. To be in heaven, we must be absolutely perfect, but we're not. We sin. So what hope is there for us as sinners? And the hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he lived as a perfect man. He always kept the law, always pleased the Father, and so he is perfectly righteous. And here at 8 days of age, we see even as a little infant, the law was kept. The law was kept. And all through his life, he kept every commandment that was given by God in the Old Testament, the ceremonial law being a Jew, and also the moral law, the Ten Commandments. He kept it perfectly. And then on Calvary, not only did he fulfill all righteousness in keeping the law perfectly, but thank God at Calvary, he fulfilled the law in this sense. He paid for his people's sins. He fulfilled the law's demands, we say. The law demanded that we be in hell for all eternity because we're sinners. But Christ suffered what the law demanded. He fulfilled the law. This is why God the Son became man. There was no other way for us to be redeemed. But then you read in the verse that not only did he go through this ritual showing that he was under the law and kept the law for us, but it says he was named Jesus. You may say, but surely we've already read that in Matthew 1, verse 21. The angel told that to Joseph, yes. In Luke 1, verse 31, an angel came to Mary and told her she was going to conceive by the Holy Ghost and have a child and call his name Jesus. But verse 21 of Luke 2, that's the formal naming. Is that the circumcision? That was the naming ceremony. That was the public pronouncement of the name. You remember our Savior's cousin, John the Baptist, you see, he was named at a certain time. No one knew the name yet, but at 8 days of age, when he was circumcised, you read that in chapter 1, they said, what's his name going to be? And of course, Zacharias wrote John. So this, in the Jewish way, was an official naming ceremony. And the name, of course, is Jesus. Think of that lovely name. It surprises some to know it was a name of common occurrence. It was a very popular name in those days. The Apostle Paul had a friend called Jesus Justus. There was an old false teacher in the book of Acts, Simon Bar, that son of Jesus. Joshua is the Hebrew pronunciation of the name Jesus, just as Ivan, Ian, Sean, John, Jan, Johan, etc., are all John. So we think of the people in the Bible called Joshua. It was a common name. And of course, we, from this part of the world, we shudder when we hear in so many Mexican and Latin American countries, children still called Jesus. It kind of, doesn't it? But in those days, it was a common name, a name of common occurrence. But listen, at 8 days of age, when he was formally named Jesus, it took on a special significance. Because he is the only bearer of that name who fulfilled the meaning of the name totally. Joshua, in a sense, was a deliverer. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Jesus. What's that mean? Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior. And when we call him Jesus, we call him by his name. He did not come to judge the world. We sometimes sing with the children. Thank God he came to save. It's a name of common occurrence. It's a name of special significance. It's a name of beautiful fragrance. There's something about that name to a believer. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, says his name is a beautiful ointment or fragrance. Perfume, it really means. And there's something about the Lord's name. There is what they call aromatherapy. And the people who believe in it and practice it say by various scents and perfumes you can change your mood. You can become joyful or whatever, supposed to heal them. I'm not going into that. I'm just saying there's people believe that, aromatherapy. But I want to tell you this, there's a beautiful fragrance about the name Jesus Christ. What did John Newton write? And I just learned recently that up in County Donegal, they have the Amazing Grace Way and the Amazing Grace Park. Because, of course, John Newton was saved on the ship off the coast of Donegal. And the first place he ever worshipped was St. Columb's Cathedral, made famous by the siege. There, first place he ever worshipped as a believer. But he wrote those lovely words, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears." There's something about the name, something wonderful. There's a hymn that says, "His name, like sweet perfume, shall rise." I think of General Booth as he came to die. They wanted him to sign some papers to do with the Salvation Army, just to formalize important documents, and they handed him the pen. He was still alert, and he wrote and handed the papers back. You know what he had written? Jesus. Jesus. Why? Because his mind was taken up in his dying moments with the Savior. Oh, what a perfume it is to a believer when they face the river of death to know Jesus as your Savior. It's a name of common occurrence. It was a name of special significance when given to him 8 days of age. It's a name that has a beautiful fragrance about it. It's a name that God has given unique preeminence to. Remember the book of Philippians chapter 2? "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And we're so glad to welcome you this morning here. What are we here to do? To bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day, every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth, and that includes humans, will bow before him and acknowledge that he is Lord. But sadly today, many don't. Jesus, the name high over all in hell or earth or sky. Angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Oh, the unique preeminence of that name. Therefore, that name deserves our careful defense. When someone's name is abused, misused, we get angry. If someone takes your name and uses it in a bad way, abuses you, you get annoyed. Oh, as God's people, we ought to be annoyed, righteously angry. Remember, God said in one place, we're to be angry and sin not. Annoyed, grieved, when we hear that lovely name Jesus taken as a curse word, and it often is on programs. Something the BBC and other channels would never do about Muhammad or Buddha or some other, but they do it about Jesus. How terrible. Paul spoke about men who were preaching in his day, just as in our day, and they're preaching another Jesus. And we know that a lot of people's minds are drawn to the baby in the manger this time of year, and we can use that to seek to get the gospel in and explain who he is. Not just who he was, because he still lives, he's the ever-living one. But how many really understand who the Savior is? Oh, we ought to stand up for Jesus. Paul said he was set for the defense of the gospel, and how we ought to carefully defend his name. But listen this morning, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. By the way, I looked it up. It occurs well over 900 times in the New Testament. Think of it. Well over 900 times in the New Testament. That tells us the theme of Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the theme. Yes, at 8 days of age, as a little baby, he was formally, ceremonially named there in the temple. This child's name shall be Jesus, Jehovah Savior, a name of common occurrence, but he gave to it special significance. And for we who know him, it's a name of beautiful fragrance to us. Oh, it's a name of unique preeminence, and we ought to give it as careful defense. But here's the last one. That name demands your absolute dependence. Your absolute dependence. Salvation comes by trusting him, by depending solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us this morning, if I asked for a show of hands, were saved by that wonderful verse, Romans 10 and 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that's a prophecy of Joel? And you know, in Joel, they used the word Jehovah. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah. But it is speaking about the Savior in Romans 10, 13. Oh, have you called upon him? What does it mean to call upon his name? Well, it doesn't mean just say his name. There's no magic about simply repeating the name. No, it's depending on who that name represents and what that name means, that he is the only Savior. And the best illustration I can give, we were missionaries in Papua New Guinea, my wife and I, and the tribes were Stone Age people. I've talked about it before. They still put twins out to die when we were there. I remember going over 200 miles with another missionary with a young baby, just a few days old. The boy had died. They were twins, born twins, and they just put them in the jungle. The boy had died. The little girl was still alive, but after that, they did keep them. But anyway, they had been Stone Age, very savage tribes. We were safe, by the way, but in another tribe just over in West Arion, a very famous man, Don Richardson, wrote a lot of books about the tribe. They were very savage, and like many groups in that area, when a boy became a man, he went through various rites, various ceremonies. And in one tribe, your maternal uncle, that means the brother of your mother, had a special bond with you, the nephew. And at a special ceremony, he would whisper a secret name. And you were never, a man was never to utter that name out loud. Because if anybody got to know that name, it lost its power. And not knowing the gospel, living there in the jungle, what happened was when a man went out to fight in a battle, he would breathe that name into himself, because they believed it had magic power. When they went into the jungle, and we knew this, the people we lived among, a rainy day like this, people stayed in the house all day because they were afraid of evil spirits in the jungle, believed certain trees had evil spirits in them and so on. But if he kept breathing that secret name to himself, that protected him. And when he was sick, he would breathe that secret name. The only other person knew it was his maternal uncle. Of course, you know that that meant that the young boy took care of his uncle. Have you worked that out? Because if the uncle told the name, it lost its power too. So you're very good to your uncle when he got elderly. But anyway, back to it. This is what they believed. And all these warriors had secret names that they would breathe into themselves, and they believed the power to help them at death and so on. And this missionary recorded, and it was a thrill to read it, how he remembered one day as different men were sitting there, one stood to his feet and he shouted out a name, and he said, "Man, that's my name. That's my secret name. Who's going to protect him now in battle? Who's going to protect him from evil spirits? Who's going to protect him when he comes to die?" And he said, "From now on, I am trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the missionary has told us about." And that was the man, the missionary's first convert. Are you resting totally, completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ? He's a strong tower. He's a strong tower. The righteous runneth it and are safe. Pilate asked this question, "What shall I then do with Jesus?" What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be, for someday your soul may be asking, "What will he do with me?" Make sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.